Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars. And this week, whatever happened to Daihatsu? I've got a bone to pick with you, as it happens.
Okay.
Hot sot.
Okay,
a couple of weeks ago on social media, you suddenly described Tommy Lee Jones as a fast-talking stroker.
Mm.
And gave it as the reason why you haven't seen Men in Black until this year.
And no, I hadn't.
Who doesn't like Tommy Lee Jones?
Me. But I can't stand him.
What?
He's the worst part of Under Siege.
Oh, come on.
No, he's a complete... He irritates me hugely as an actor. I don't know what he's like in real life. He's probably not irritating.
He's one of those people I sort of go, I don't know, he feels like he might be a bit grumpy in real life, but maybe not. Maybe he's really nice.
No, he talks too fast. It irritates me.
I don't think he does talk too fast. I mean, what about No Country for Old Men? That's a great film.
Actually, yeah, okay, that one was a good one. So this is what you do. You start feeding in the ammunition. Oh, my weak argument's already crumbling at the
seams. I don't think I've ever met anyone who doesn't like Tommy Lee Jones before.
No, I don't like him very much at all, unfortunately.
As is your right.
Who don't you like?
Oh, we see, I have a bit of a problem with Nick Cage. I find him irritating.
Nicolas Cage, yeah. I mean, the thing about Nicolas Cage is when he was younger, I think he looked a lot like my cousin Richard, who's a lovely guy and who I don't see often enough. Oh. So it used to remind me of my cousin. I used to think, oh, maybe when he was younger, did I used to play table tennis in Nicolas Cage's back garden and then play Action Man? And then I realised, no, I probably didn't. And that would be creepy because I think Nicolas is older than me.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah. I'd say he's quite a bit older than you. And does he still? He used to live in this country, didn't he?
He did.
He lived in Bath for a while.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Is he one of those guys that's been married like more than four times?
Oh, almost.
Is he one of them?
Almost certainly.
Such complicated life paperwork.
Yeah. It really is, isn't it?
Just couldn't deal with it. I don't know. I don't want to offend any listeners, but I feel like if you are getting married for the third time, I don't think it's right that you should marry.
Yeah, maybe just try it on for size for a few years.
Didn't work.
Yeah, I agree.
You tried it second and it hasn't worked. I think the hint is just don't do it.
All right,
just,
here we
go. Just have life companionship.
Nicolas Cage has been married for five times.
I was right. So it's more than three.
His most recent marriage, which let's presume it's still going, it was only this year, February the 16th, 2021. Cage married for the fifth time to his Japanese girlfriend, Riko Shibata.
So, really? He got married in a pandemic situation?
Riko Shibata.
What does Nicolas Cage drive on a daily basis?
Ooh.
Assuming I don't know, he'd have an English car if he's still got a house in Bath.
I don't.
Because Bath's terrible for driving because it's quite narrow and bad for parking.
But you see, I thought he maybe lived over here because he had some tax problems.
Oh,
there was definitely a snafu. He had a financial snafu. And
he had to run away for a bit.
Well, I mean, it's not recorded here.
Nicholas, if you're listening, I watched Gone in 60 Seconds at the cinema when it came out, and I loved it. I've got to say, Angelina Jolie talking about carburettors on a Ferrari was a bit more of a turn on than you sort of singing about a Mustang with a faux body kit, but. I did enjoy that film immensely. I also enjoyed Face Off. It's probably your best film. Only because it's so out there.
Yeah, it's a magnificently silly film, isn't it?
It's peak 90s madness when it comes to films. I enjoyed that very much.
I've
watched that now.
I've just found a story on the Bath Chronicle, which is, of course, you know, the leading source of news from the Bath/Bath area. The headline is Hollywood megastar and former Bath resident Nicolas Cage surprises staff at pet shop.
Pet shop?
Pet shop. It doesn't say whether it's like surprise. It sounds like he sort of leapt out from behind.
Don't tell me he bought a dog cage. Please don't tell me.
He's no stranger to the Southwest, but that didn't stop staff being stunned when Hollywood megastar Nicolas Cage dropped into their pet shop. The 53-year-old happily posed for pictures with workers at Not Just Pets in Frome, Somerset. But staff are staying tight-lipped about what the kick-ass face-off National Treasure and Con Air actor bought during his short visit.
That's it, Con Air. Right.
Con Air.
Right. Can we do a much more consumer-friendly film called Air Con, where it's Nicolas Cage, who's obviously... because he's five times married and the money's getting a little bit thin in places. Nicolas Cage does a hard-hitting consumer documentary about the ways you can preserve... the ways in which you can look after air conditioning units, where to buy, if there's anything you can do that's DIY, reputable people who service them in both cars and buildings.
Yeah.
Maybe it's some Nicolas advice Cage about how to use aircon.
The thermostatic controls in a car.
Oh, yeah.
Don't turn it down, man. Just leave it at the temperature you want it.
That's right.
Now, he doesn't...
people who get in it on a hot day and they think it's got to be down to 15. And we've had this conversation before. It's like, if it's 30 today, which it is, 30, 31 Celsius, you don't need it at 16. Because at 20, it's going to feel quite cool.
It's fine.
So bear that in mind. I don't need to step into a fridge.
According to this news story, Cage does not live in Bath anymore. But he did turn on the Bath Christmas lights in 2009.
So, did he?
So let's say he doesn't live in the UK anymore. He's back in the US. Now, I think, and one of the things I find slightly annoying about his acting is he does that sort of crazy eyes thing a lot. But I think that maybe he has that in real life as well. He's slightly zany slash unhinged. So I think he might have one of those really powerful challengers, a Hellcat or a Red Eye version or something.
But in America?
In America. Well, I mean, it'd be mad if he had it in the UK, wouldn't it? If he is, in fact... he's disregarded the narrow Georgian lanes of Bath being a nightmare, and he's got a very wide, very powerful American car.
It would be, with a race clutch manual. Would be quite hardcore, wouldn't it? All those hill starts, all those difficult manoeuvres into pay and display car parks.
One of those really, really awful racing clutches that's like a switch, basically. Awful as in they're terrible to use on the road. With any degree of subtlety.
They just want to go.
Yeah.
They just want to go.
Slight hill start away from some traffic lights. He's got a stick, 3,000 or 4,000 revs on that thing.
Oh, it'd be chirping.
And then the back, boom. Back and then, chirping. And then it starts to snap sideways and he's got to control that. But it's just a nightmare.
Oh, man.
I don't know, go and get a Kia Brian Picanto or something, Nick, if you still live in Bath. You need a small car. And I know where the Kia garage is in Bath because it's near my friend's house.
Oh, really? Yeah, you could put a good word in. And funny enough, there's like a water park kind of caravan park very close to where I live where they do water sports and stuff as well. And I dropped my kids off there to do some paddleboarding and windsurfing and stuff. And I noticed one of the caravans that's immaculate and got lots of trinkets outside in the garden. You know the ones, wind chimes, there's a little sign saying gone fishing, etc.
Yeah.
Two flawless, brand new Kia Picantos.
Two?
Same colour. Two, the same colour. They've got the same number plate bar one digit at the end. And I realised, and I looked at them and went, are they exactly the same? And then I realised one of them is slightly higher spec. One of them's in like a GTS or something.
Oh.
So it's got a slightly deeper body kit with a like a lime green line through it.
Yes, I've seen.
And
those.
So I'm wondering, and I think dual exhaust and one of them single exhaust. It's like someone's gone and bought a pair of Picantos that are with the same number plate, and one of them's ever so slightly higher spec. Who gets the higher spec one? Assuming they're a couple.
Yeah.
Who gets it? Who gets the high
That's
one?
Weird. Oh, I don't need rear electric windows, Malcolm.
Not know?
What would I want with those? I never have anyone in the back. Don't be silly. It's a
or
waste
did
of
they,
money.
Did they buy them by accident? You know, do you know what I mean? Like, did they just buy, they thought they were buying two of the same car and they've accidentally got an upgrade? A bit like when you're a regular flyer on a plane, someone's gone, oh, do you want business class? Go, well, okay. I mean, I'm not bothered either way, but yeah, I'll take it. So someone at Kia's just gone, look, we haven't actually got another one of those, but we can get that one for tomorrow. Look, you're a good customer. You're one of those fools that buys a brand new car every 2 years. So do you want it? And he's like, yeah, okay.
Or a Kia and, selling cars by weight now. And they went anyway. No, we'd like one of those Sorrentos like that we've heard about. We don't have any Sorrentos at the moment. Would you like two Picantos? Oh, okay.
Yeah, can I have 1,600 kilos of Picanto?
1,600 kilos of Kia, please.
Yes, and they go,
well, that's coming a bit heavy, love. Is that all right? It's about 1,750. Oh. Yeah, that'll be fine. Where's the 50 come from? Well, one of them's slightly higher spec, you see.
That would be great. You can have to add a bit of weight. This one's a bit light because for the same price, I can give you 60 more kilos. Oh, could you give me three sets of mats? Yes, I can do that. What about a dog liner for the boot? Yeah, that's quite a heavy, thick gauge rubber. Yeah, put
some
that one in.
Roof bars, that'd be all right. Well,
roof bars.
There used to be a house near me. Well, there still is a house near me, but they've changed cars now. But for a while, they had two identical Honda Accord Estates, both in silver.
Oh.
Like, absolutely identical, except the red one was newer. One was a year or so newer. But you remember the really hearse-like Accord Estate with the very flat back? Do you remember those?
Yeah, I'm very, very keen on those cars, yes.
I love the I never drove the estate. The saloon one was a lovely car to drive. Peak sort of Honda just pleasantness.
It was good.
Really nicely made. But they had two of those. And I just thought, I was like, how did this happen? He's like, oh, I love your Accord Estate. I really do. Is someone dropping a hint about what they want for Christmas? I have to see what the Honda Fairy brings you. Might be a silver Accord wagon like mine.
It's exactly the same.
I just don't understand it. Otherwise, I love your car. Well, let's get another one then.
Is it old school days of company cars where you'd have the company car for 3 years and you fell in love with it? So you're like, I'm going to buy it. I'm just going to buy it off the company. And you buy it, and then maybe a year or two passes when your other car might need upgrading. And you think, you know, we've really enjoyed that. You know, since Basil bought the Accord, we just love it. It does everything. So they go to the dealer. The dealer's offering maybe serious good price, and you're just like, yeah, bollocks, I'll buy the same car. Absolutely. Does anybody else out there, any other listeners who know of families or neighbours or people you drive past the drives of and they've got the same cars?
I've seen it. There's something else I've seen around our neck of the woods, and I can't remember what it is now, that where I've gone, identical or almost identical cars. Strange.
Unless they're career criminals. They could be career criminals where they don't know why they need a doppelganger car.
I mean, I suppose,
don't they?
Company car wise, I hadn't thought about this, but you're right. What if actually it's a couple who both work for the same company and their sort of standard car for sales reps or whatever is an Accord Estate or was? So they've both just got their company cars, and it just happens that they, you know, maybe they met at work and now they're together. Maybe they met and they both already had the cars and now they've moved in together. And that's how the cars end up on the drive together.
Great idea.
Who knows?
Great. Talking of doppelgangers.
Yeah.
It was you, or was it? It was a listener that sent a viewer of some of the podcasty stuff that sent in that picture of my doppelganger. Very creepy circumstances.
The yes. And
where did it come from? Did it come from? Was it a comment on YouTube?
No, or was it? It was an email. It was an email because
to the Smith and Sniff postbox.
Yes. So we, as people probably know, we did those videos at the Goodwood Festival of Speed. What was that? 2 or 3 weeks ago. They're on YouTube, by the way. Go to Goodwood Road and Racing's YouTube channel, and they've clipped out our packages, as people sometimes say in television. And there's four of them where we just wander around stuff. As some people pointed out, I wander around like an exasperated dad dragging a child around a supermarket. But it's because they told me that we could do no longer than 10 minutes per video, and there were about 100 cars in each section to talk about. So I got a clip on. And then at the end they went, you could have done 15 minutes if you wanted. Like, well, okay.
Yeah, and there's me just like looking daggers at you like, yeah, I just wanted to stop and talk more about that Lotus Carlton seat or whatever.
So anyway, someone watched one of our videos from YouTube, a chap called George Molyneux. I hope I've pronounced your name right, George. and he noticed, he sent us a screen grab where it's when we're in the supercar paddock.
That's right.
And basically, it's a screen grab of you side on talking to me, but behind you, it looks like there's you in the crowd.
I've got to say, it's a bit weird. These screen grabs were forwarded to me, and it's creeped me out. It's like the photographs, the old photographs where you take a family photo and then there's great-great-great-great-grandfather, like Gerald, in the background. You go, hang on, he's been dead for 80 years. What's he doing in the family photo? It's just one of those. It's like he does look like... or he either looks like me or he looks a little bit like a kind of taller Chris Harris, I would say.
Yeah. But what's also... is that fair to say? This chap is standing sort of underneath one of the awnings that the cars lived under in that paddock, the shadow makes it look like he's sort of wearing a brown smock with a kind of diagonal two-tone effect on it.
Oh, he's a ghost then?
It's sort of like they'd wear on a space station in Star Trek or something like that. Which leads me to think that he's you from the future, and you've come back in time to warn yourself about something, but then you've noticed that past you, which is current you for us, is doing a piece to camera and it would be unprofessional to interrupt you. And then they've presumably said in his ear, no, you need to come back in time now, forward in time. You only got 5 minutes. And he's like, but he's still doing a piece to camera. I've got to warn him. Well, you can't. There's no time. Get back in the portal. And he's gone.
Hang on. Is it like Terminator where you send John Connor back or in order to tell your future self, like, or past self, don't make that decision, or do that, make decision, because it's going to have a huge impact on the world. Am I sending myself back to say, Johnny, you've got to stop making videos and talking about cars? It's going to end destructively.
Yeah.
Or was he just saying, keep doing what you do, Johnny, it's going all right?
And yeah, look, I've got this brown two-tone smock now. With the Late Break Show / Smith and Sniff fortune, so just carry on doing exactly what you're doing. Got to go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like a Back to the Future scenario.
It's a bit weird. You didn't actually talk to yourself, though. I assume it was a time constraint.
I didn't even see them. Maybe I can't see them because it's me.
You can't see yourself.
I can't see myself. We'll have to put these pictures up so people know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, we'll stick them. We'll stick them on the Patreon. What is weird is that it's the sort of the later grabs, you do really, there are some of them where you really do look like you, and it's, well, because it's you, and you've travelled through time. It's the only explanation.
Someone said, if when I wear my orange jacket in other videos, I can look like a sort of a scrawnier, more polite version of Drake. But I thought that's
scrawnier, more polite.
Although Drake's not that impolite.
Don't look at Drake and go, oh, he's so rude. What a rude Canadian
bastard. Because he's a rapper, he probably talks about how much intercourse might happen in a nightclub and all that stuff, because that's just modern rap.
But maybe.
I tend not to talk about stuff like that. Although maybe I do on the Smith & Stiff podcast.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever watched one of your videos and you've gone, now this week it's an incredible barn find of something, well, a little bit unusual. But first, you wouldn't believe how many bitches and hoes I've nailed recently. it's not a feature I've noticed. We weren't going to do listeners' messages particularly, but since you've brought up you from the future, and thank you, George, for sending that in, is a bit weird. I didn't notice this guy either, so it's like I can't see future you either. It's very odd. A chap called Kieran Chalice sent us a message about car washing.
Okay.
Which I think is right up your street. He said, I think Johnny and I might agree on this one, but I've always felt you never truly know a car until you wash it. There's something about running soapy mitts over every inch of a car that means you know it in ways that no 1,000-mile road trip could ever hope to achieve. I find you see things when washing that you don't notice when just inspecting a car. I'm so convinced of this, I've even considered asking would-be sellers of cars if they would mind me washing it as part of the inspection process.
Obviously, this
would make me look like a total lunatic, so I haven't actually done it. And I thought, I read this and I thought, you'll agree with this, won't you, completely? I mean, I do too, but have you ever thought about asking a car seller to wash it?
I don't know about that, but I have, and this sounds seedy, but it isn't. I have run my fingers over the bodywork a lot, and I crouch and look down the lines of a car, like down the door lines and the rear quarters especially, to just look, see if I can pick out a bad paint match or body repair.
But you've got a hawk eye for paint. So I have always got a hawk impressed eye for by your ability to just look in at some car and you'll just go, it's had paint. And I haven't spotted a thing. And you're like, look down there, look, a bit orange peeling just below the rubbing strip.
It's because I started off my journalism journey with old cars and modified cars. One of the things that you always look out for is if somebody tells you it hasn't been restored, you want to see if it has or not. And also, buying old cars, you buy on condition every time. You don't, unless it's got a significant history, you just buy it on what you're looking at. And bad paint is worse than having a tired car, honest tired car. So I'm in my head, I'm always like, oh, when someone goes, yeah, I've had it freshly painted, you're like, oh gosh, here we go, it's going to be awful.
By who and how?
Yeah, and that's why if there's an advert where somebody says car's been freshly repainted, like nobody freshly repaints a car and then instantly puts it up for sale, typically. Because why would you? You've just spent quite a lot of money. And also, there's no quick way around a good paint job. Again, what you are paying for is elbow grease and amazing prep.
Mm.
If you're not prepared to do that or pay for that, you won't get a good paint job. Unless you're going to do it yourself, of course. So, yeah, I'm an absolute hawkeye for paint. And it's a shame because I know all of the imperfections of my own cars and they annoy me probably more than anyone that will ever see my own cars, especially my never-been-seen-by-anyone-in-public Chevrolet. But, it's just one of those things.
There's a Honda Jazz parks near my house and some minor scuffage must have occurred to the back bumper. I vaguely know the bloke who owns it, actually, but I've never asked him about this because I don't know him that well. But he attempted a rattle can respray on the back bumper, and it was...
Oh, ghetto repairs.
Yeah, awful. So then he's had another go, and he keeps having another go. I'm fascinated by the progress on this. Like, he obviously, every so often, it just annoys him enough that he gets out there with some sandpaper or something and tries to sort of just take it down again and then redo it. It's like, you know that thing about the fourth rail bridge? They get to one end and then they start painting back in the other direction.
Yeah.
This Jazz back bumper is like the fourth rail bridge of car parts, except he's doing a really shit job of painting it every time and then has to go back and redo it. It's extraordinary.
It's like some buildings or houses in seaside towns where, because it's a seaside town, the weathering and the erosion on things is harder.
Mm.
But I've noticed it's people that just paint stuff religiously and they don't ever prep. So you're just putting extra layers on top of a thing that's already a bit crumbly. You know what I mean? It's like just putting makeup on your face every day without removing the old makeup. Hang on.
I have done this, but I'm not proud of myself. That thinking, I'll just paint over what's there. It'll be fine. And it never is it? It's just...
No, it's fine for about 2 weeks. And then it just looks like you've hurriedly splattered loads of fresh... Also, like my dad said, you're just totally wasting paint. Paint's not cheap.
It's not.
So to just throw it over an unprepped surface is...
An unprepped
is
surface?
Is sinful. An unprepped surface, absolutely ridiculous. Unprepped surface.
It's terrible. Well, anyway, thank you.
Whoever my doppelganger is, I will find you. I have special skills that allow me to hunt you down. And when I do find you, I'm going to probably just talk to you. And I'm going to... My bet is that you are Middle Eastern and that you were visiting Goodwood just for like a week's, 2 weeks holiday. And...
Well, that means that you'll never find him because he's gone back
and
to...
You might,
another country is harder to find.
Yeah.
Not that it's easy. It's really easy to find someone in Britain. You just keep walking around until you bump into them. But, you know.
And possibly you won't you won't be able to speak English and I won't be able to speak your native tongue. So, but we'll see. We'll see what we can do.
But you'll be united by the feeling of looking in a mirror when you're not. What if his name is like Sonny Jmith as well, if it's really spooky? He is just you from another dimension.
Oh. if he's more successful than me, I will be really pleased, because I'll think, oh, yeah.
Johnny, it's so nice to meet you. Have you seen my YouTube channel, The Break Late Show? It has over 4 billion subscribers. And you'd be like, oh, God.
Yes, every new supercar gets offered to me first. Really? Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'd like it if he is a very friendly, highly successful man. Maybe we could just chat about stuff. And if he's got the same hobbies as me, then I'm out.
He was scared at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, so I think it's safe to assume he's slightly interested in cars, but. Who
I used to be, I know I've said this before, certainly when my days of when I was on Max Power and things, apparently I have that kind of face where I look like a lot of other people, mostly when I had hair, admittedly, when I had black hair.
See, I've got a mate of mine who I used to work with, who's called Alex. In the office, he was known as International Al because he could travel to almost any country in the world and we'd see a guy who looked like him. It was really extraordinary.
Yeah. Well, that was
me. Made an amazing secret agent.
If I ever went on holiday to somewhere like Portugal, somewhere like Morocco, I would get spoken to in the native language. And then I'd have to do that embarrassing thing of going, I'm really sorry, I don't understand. I don't know what you're saying.
That used to happen to another friend of mine in some countries. He had very dark hair. He's actually, his parents are Irish, but he had sort of very, very dark black hair. And if he was in Spain or Portugal or France, he'd just get people coming up to him talking in their native language, and he doesn't speak any of those languages. But he's also very good at talking with his hands and shrugging. So sometimes you'd see him, and he would be sort of engaged in conversation with a bloke in a market square, and he'd be like, what were you talking about? And he'd go, I have no idea. I just kind of shrugged and pulled faces for a bit and then walked off.
I know. I feel if anyone else has got an international face, it's very useful. It's very useful, but it's also, it can be a hindrance. So I always used to, when I was younger, my sort of early 20s, I think that was peak international, because I could probably walk through a ghetto and no one would bother me, and I sure as hell wouldn't bother anybody.
IFS, so, international face syndrome.
Yeah, I think I definitely was an IFS. But unfortunately, I would sometimes stray a little bit towards possibly looking like a terrorist, because I used to get stopped at airports and searched very thoroughly.
Really?
And yeah, honestly, yeah. I was with a photographer once and I had a camo bag. The bag I was carrying on this job was a camo bag, and I just shaved my head for charity. And I said to him, I'm going to be longer than you going through security. He went, oh, I don't think so. I've got all my camera equipment. I went, okay, watch this. As we were walking through, I counted down really quietly. Next time I was going, okay, here we go. 8, 7, 6, 5. And these two fully armed guards just politely walked over to me and they said, and pointed to the, I don't know, a door in the corner. And I went, yeah, no problem. And he just looked at me and laughed like I'd organised it. And it was true. I think they were really disappointed. They unzipped a camo bag and all they saw was like some shit Bermuda shorts and a free wash kit from Audi Sport. Yeah. But, you know.
I thought you were going to say, is there a problem, officer? Just, I always travel with my alarm clock and tall red candle collection. I don't see what the problem would be.
Yeah, I love a really audible cuckoo clock. Yeah. One of those ones where you pull all the pine cones and things.
This kitchen egg timer, I carry it everywhere with me. I just use it to monitor progress through airport securities.
I hard-boil eggs in hotel rooms. I put them in the kettle and then I just set a timer.
I also
love a hard-boiled egg from a kettle.
I mean, like a lot of people, I then flavour the eggs with this sugar and weed killer. I don't see an issue there, officer.
No, it's all good.
Anyway, what else was I going to talk to you about? Well, thank you to Kieran for the car washing thing, and to George for the mysterious pictures of Johnny's doppelganger that maybe we'll never get to the bottom. Yeah, I'm really, really hoping that he runs like Iran's biggest car YouTube channel or something, and he's like a a major
but
star.
Maybe we could do some car swaps. If he is in Iran, I desperately want one of the Hillman Avengers that they made out there. There's a bit of a Hillman Avenger following out. I think it's in Tehran and Iran. So I'd say, by all means.
Do they make Avengers in Iran?
Yeah, for years.
Oh.
Yeah, years. Yeah,
I thought they just made the Hunter.
No, they made the AVR as well, the Avenger. And wow. There's a few members of... They modify them. I've seen some pictures. In fact, there's a guy on Instagram who's got a really nice, like, yellow Avenger in Iran. I'm sure it's Iran. And it's lowered on sort of Wolf Ray slot mags, but not quite. And it looks the law.
Yeah.
Love it.
Good.
Yeah. Do you know what? We've had a Patreon message from somebody called Glenn.
Glenn?
And I think it's because a few podcasts ago, we were talking about Renault Megane R26s and how much we love them. He said, I've got a Megane R26 with 203,000 miles on it. The previous owner bought it almost new and used it to commute over 60 miles a day for 12 years, and it's held up surprisingly well. That is a very unexpected commute car, I would say.
Depends where you commute, though.
Intense commute.
Yeah, but if you've got a commute across country and it's nice roads, I mean,
yeah,
why not?
Brilliant. Well, firstly, Glenn, thank you for being a patron to the Smith and Sniff podcast. Secondly, I love the fact you've got an extremely leggy R26. I'd go as far as to say, when you decide to get rid of it, assuming it's not completely frigged, give me a shout. I might be interested. Or if my wife's listening, I'm definitely not interested.
What was that? Oh, it was your birthday, I think, wasn't it? When we were all meeting you. And on the way to meet us, you'd taken a call in the car on the hands-free from a bloke who was selling you a car, but your wife was in the car too. So when you arrived, the atmosphere between the pair of you was slightly frosty.
It was a little frosty, yeah, a little frosty. I actually can't remember what car that was. What car was that?
I'm not going to say in case I give away some stuff that I shouldn't.
No, it's water under the bridge. It's absolutely fine.
Hmm.
On that side of things.
Definitely not bought anything then this week or anything like that.
No, not bought a vehicle for some time. Not bought. I feel less of a person because of it. I think the next step is I need to, and this is not very Smith and Sniffy really, but I need to go on a course for time management and organisation. And I don't know if they exist. They probably call them workshops now.
Yeah.
I need to do that. I think that would really help me. And then ultimately, if I'm wiser with my time and my efforts, I'm thinking that could be a conduit to more cars. That's my thinking. If I'm better with my time and I'm more focused with the important things, I might be able to just saddle up more shitters for the barn.
It's an interesting logic, but I'm not going to disagree with it. I mean, I think your wife might, but...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's a great idea.
No, I'm not saying
or
it's not.
I just work out a way to monetize my vehicles a bit more.
Okay.
Be clever with my business and all that.
Have you ever thought about doing, like, amassing cars to rent out to TV shows?
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine that does it.
Oh, have you?
And, he does do it. And he does it because he fell into it by accident when his core business, which is like a vintage wedding car business, like a proper vintage car, not one of those pretend ones that's Cruella de Vil Pinto engine glass fibre shite.
It's got mini doors, yeah.
Yeah, you
was
know that,
that
horrible
bloody stopwatch beeping then, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's I've still got it on the desk.
How many weeks has this thing been tormenting you?
For weeks. I actually, do you know what was annoying? Is when we went down to Goodwood and we filmed, sorry, we recorded the podcast together at the caravan in the field.
Mm.
I brought the stopwatch down in my bag to give to you, and I thought we could do a stopwatch amnesty where you give me yours and I give you mine.
Well, we haven't mentioned this on the show, have we? The like, when was it? Just before we went to Goodwood?
Yeah.
A stopwatch just showed up in our kitchen. My wife went out.
Not my kitchen, Richard's
in
kitchen.
In my kitchen. I came downstairs. My wife had just gone out. I came downstairs and then there was a stopwatch on the worktop. I was like, that's a bit weird. Where's this come from? And then I sat down at the kitchen table to have some lunch and the little fucker started beeping. And all afternoon it just kept beeping. And I couldn't figure out, same problem, couldn't figure out why it was doing it. It was inexplicable to me. It turns out the stopwatch, my wife had decided to take a bag she hadn't used for a while and she was clearing out what was left at the bottom of it, and the stopwatch was in there because people making TV often have stopwatches for timing reasons, and it was an old TV stopwatch, but I made her take it away because it was irritating.
Oh, you do you not have it anymore?
No, because it was driving me nuts. Do you know what I brought to Goodwood though that I forgot to give you was the was my broken strap Casio digital watch.
Oh, we could have done an amnesty.
Yeah,
where,
but I don't want your stopwatch. You wanted my digital watch. I'll send it to you.
I do want your digital watch, but you don't want my... Well, I've got... Yeah, just so everyone knows, it's here. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a name. It's a no-name 80s PE teacher stopwatch. But here it is. Just so everyone knows, I'm going to do a start, then a stop, then a reset. Ready? Did you hear that?
It's clicky.
Is it? Did it bleep? Hang on, I've got earphones. Ready?
It just clicked. Oh, there it did. It bleeps once, but the click is almost drowning out the bleep a little bit.
Oh gosh, I've just changed. I think I've just gone and set an alarm really hurriedly, and I don't.
So please bleep every 10 minutes from now on. Extra loud setting.
It's the hourly. Would you like the hourly chime? Because that reminds you of your childhood. No, I haven't got that. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I can't bring myself to get rid of it, so I've just left it up here, and it does bleep every hour, and then it also bleeps in between the hours, but I don't know why. So it's just a complete mystery. I am definitely going to hide it in something in my wife's car. I'm going to put it, going to just put it somewhere secret, and she'll just go, "This is," because she will get irate about that really quickly.
Oh, that reminds me. Now I'll never find this. I'm sure in a, oh, that's annoying because I was going to say I'm going to try and find this, but we had do you remember a few weeks ago after we did that show where you accidentally gave away the name of someone you weren't supposed to read out from a
so amateur, I'm sorry,
listener's email, and so I bleeped it rather badly in post-production. I probably left the bleep a little bit too loud.
Yes.
So I got a message from a listener. I found the message, but I can't find the person's name, so I apologise. But they said, "I managed to ditch the family and come home early from Anglesey in my new Yaris. Got in the car and started listening to the podcast. 40 minutes in, tearing through traffic, my car starts making a loud beep noise. WTF. No warning lights. More beeping noises. Muted the podcast and pulled in. Panic read the handbook. Nothing to note about a beeping noise. On to Toyota Assist. They don't know but advise not to drive and they'll send the RAC out. While waiting, I carried on listening. ... And then he realised that it was in fact our ham-fisted beeps on the... on the podcast.
It was me mentioning the name of a...
Don't.
An artist that I can't...
No, don't, because it was weirdly a pain in the arse to put bleeps on them. You'd think it'd be the easiest thing in the world, but for some reasons...
No, I can imagine it was quite hard, so I'm sorry.
Technical ineptitude. I couldn't do it. Anyway, yeah, what were we saying? Oh, yeah, so your beeping stopwatch is not a beep if you're driving a GI Yaris, or indeed any car. It's okay. It's just the stopwatch, which will haunt this podcast forever. So I was going to say about starting a company that loans out cars to TV and film production, because I've thought before, and I've thought that's a good business to be in. But then I just feel like you'd need someone on board who's mechanically able to keep the things going, and that is not me.
Yeah, the company that my... The company my friend uses is very reputable, and the cars are picked up from his house on a trailer. They're taken away. If there's someone that needs to chaperone them, because rather than them just being static, there's either a specialist that he trusts, or they'll pay him to hang around on set. He does a lot of stuff for Endeavour, actually. His cars appear on Endeavour a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said the market's really good for mundane 80s and 90s cars.
Well, this is what I was thinking. If
that
I was
aren't in
do
particularly
it,
good condition. Don't want immaculate stuff.
This is what drives me nuts, though, sometimes. So I'll go, OK, so this drama is set in 1969, so let's populate a street entirely with very shiny cars from 1969. And you go, that's not what streets looked like in 1969. There would be... I know cars rotted more quickly, but that's... So you have a sort of a rotty old Morris from 1964 in the background. That's more realistic.
Or a 50s car being kind of...
Well, yeah, because I remember
just
once...
running on a shoestring.
I remember finding a box of old photos that had come from God knows where, my grandfather, I think, that at one point just had a street scene from a street he lived on. And it was black and white, and I guess it was from the 50s. But in the back of shot, there was some spindly old sort of pre-war thing. And I remember being really shocked by it, and then thinking, actually, no... Someone looks after a car and doesn't use it very much. Even an old car would last if you wanted it to. And particularly if you had that wartime mentality still, that you make do and mend. You don't throw things away just because you want a new one. You care for stuff. Then, of course, there'd be old cars on streets in
mend
bygone
and make do
times.
Spec.
So, that's the one thing I was like, right, OK, when's it set? 1988. Okay, I've got an 83 Maestro. It's got scabby arches. I'm sending it over. You know, that's the kind of detail have.
Yeah, and that's it.
Well, there's our Smith & Sniff cars, but we only have slightly shabby shit that's
Well, I'm going to try and convince some well-heeled people to, like, say, start filling up a decent barn or a warehouse with average cars from 30 years ago. Just as a stockpile. That's what I want to do. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That's, like you say, base model chod, as some people refer to it as. It's all about the chod.
I'm not a massive fan of that chod thing, because I think it's... Also, I think there's a danger we've fallen down this hole of thinking that all kind of normal cars from the last 40 or 50 years have some great merit and fascination to them.
Yes.
That's been brought by rarity, but not, in fact, by any actual worth. Like, a Mark IV Escort is still a shit car. It was shit in its day. It's sort of interesting now because you don't see them around, but it's only interesting to see one, as you might, if you saw one, you might take a photo of it if it was in good nick.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't aspire to own it, because it was just a mediocre car and there's far better. I do see people on car Twitter sometimes going, oh, really fancy this. And it's like a fucking Toyota Carina or something. And you go,
Nissan Sunny Estate.
Yeah, really? What would you do with it?
It's rare, but nobody cares. That's my favourite term.
Yeah.
That's what it is. We've had an interesting email a while ago from a chap called Alan. Alan says... Your latest podcast, which obviously wasn't the latest one because I'm reading this out about 3 weeks late, seeing a late model Toyota Land Cruiser driving recently through Maidstone in Kent with wedding tape on the bonnet, complete with a blushing bride on board. And this was on Valentine's Day in 2020 with trade plates on. How much would a day's insurance have cost to have just... insured it on someone's special wedding day? Bit tight, in my opinion. Great podcast. Cheers, Alan. It's got a very good point. Turning up to a wedding in the wedding car with trade plates on looks like something hurriedly has been rearranged, would you say? I'm going to say the actual wedding car fell apart.
Yeah.
And the guy that runs the wedding car company has a Land Cruiser, probably with a sizable trailer, for getting stuff shifted quick. But all the spare wedding cars were out, and he was like, oh no, all I've got is like my UN spec Land Cruiser. and the bride's dad was like, if you don't get her here for three, like, I'm going to tear your business a new one. She's like, yeah, right, Get her there, just get her there. Oh, P.S., I forgot to insure the Land Cruiser. Oh, well, bollocks.
That is amazing. Some people, because this was something brought up a few weeks ago, wasn't it? I wasn't sure about the legality of having passengers in a car on trade plates.
And a
few people did get in touch and say it's not that straightforward. You can have passengers in it, but you're not allowed to earn money from the car, so you couldn't run a taxi on trade plates, was one of the stipulations.
Okay, but so this car on trade plates doing a wedding wouldn't have been a wedding car business then. Oh, the plot thickens.
Well, it could have been, because they could have been breaking the lure, but I don't know.
Of course. Breaking the law.
Oh, so what I was going to bring up this week is I fell down another sort of internet hole the other day and found myself on the Daihatsu Japan website.
Well, that is a hole.
Because Daihatsu withdrew from the UK a few years ago, didn't they? But basically, the exchange rate coupled with the fact they just make small, fairly cheap cars meant it was uneconomic to carry on importing to the UK. So they don't. But they are still quite a successful car company and they have quite a big presence in Japan. And so I ended up on their website and sort of auto-translated it. Because I was like, what? Basically, it was like, what are Daihatsu up to these days? How are they getting on? Because I liked quite a few Daihatsus. I liked the old Charade, that sort of wedgie-shaped one. I just thought it was a really amusing little car.
I always liked the Daihatsu, what was the Kia Soul looking thing again?
I keep wanting
to say Selector, but it wasn't. Oh gosh, it'll come to me in a minute. But it was really good. It's really cool. I liked it.
What was it called? A mucus box or something? It was.
It was something to do with a Madonna song.
Materia.
Materia.
Living in a material world.
Material world. There you go. Daihatsu Materia.
What really unbelievable stream.
And I am a Materia girl. Yeah. You know, we're living.
Yes, that was a sort of deceptively all right car, wasn't it? Like, it was quite nice to drive. It had quite a bit of room in it. It felt very well made. They weren't that expensive. Oh,
they're not worth anything now, but yet they're good.
Are they not?
No, they're not worth anything. Oh, in fact, you know what? I'll get my really audible keyboard out and do a quick search.
It's fine. It's sort of your keyboard's so audible. It sounds like you were just playing in a sound effects CD to denote it does, that you're searching for something on the internet. It's like we might as well play in like a typewriter noise or something.
Okay, so they made them from 2009 to 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and five door, 1.5 only. They were launched. They were launched in 2007. And they've been on sale. It's been on sale in Japan, a badge as a Toyota, or in the US as a Scion.
What struck me about those cars is they seemed like they sat very low to the ground.
Yes, they look like an autonomous vacuum cleaner. I always thought, and I quite like that about them. They do though, don't they? Do you know what
they
I mean?
Do. That's exactly what they look like. Yeah.
And I bloody hell, I've just found one in Norfolk for £1,195.
Really?
It's a good one in for $2,000. There's a one in Norfolk for 11. Yeah, like they're not worth very much money. But the one in Norfolk looks all right. Oh, bums, but they're going to do a live car buying.
But they're Daihatsus, aren't they? So I'd imagine they'd be pretty reliable. I can't. You know.
This has full service, main dealer service history, 116,000 miles, MOT until the end of summer, and a functioning air conditioning. And it's in black.
Oh.
It's a 2007, so it's the first. Oh my gosh, £1,100. I knew they were cheap, but I didn't realise they were that cheap. There you go. Materia in a material world. And they've got a really good central, weird binnacle, which has semicircular revs overlaid or slightly overlapped with the rev counter, which I quite liked because I'm down with that. And they've done a picture of the back seat. Hang on, I've got to zoom in just to check that I'm not lying. Hang on. The picture of the back seat in the classified ad has the lid of a cooking pot.
What?
And two adjustable spanners.
What are they doing in there?
I don't know.
What are they up to?
They were about to go to a friend's house with a big pot of stew, but they were also, I don't know, adjusting the track rod ends, and they were like, quick, take the picture for the classified. No, not now. I've got a cooking pot lid on the back seat and a couple of tools. Don't worry about it. No one will notice. But it's an orange lid. So it's actually, I think it's a Le Creusot.
What?
Cooking pot lid. It's very expensive.
The Creuset pot worth more than the car itself, it sounds like.
It probably is. That pot's probably worth a thou. Yeah.
Well, it's a good challenge to listeners. Strangest things you've seen in car classified ad pictures.
Oh my gosh, I've seen loads. The worst one is where people take pictures of like alloy wheels to show that all four are not curbed, and one of them was so reflective that the person's naked who's taking the picture.
What?
Yeah, so you just see a guy with his penis out.
Jesus.
And you just think, I'm looking at an alloy wheel, but the reflection is of a pretty much a naturist. Really.
Bell housing.
Savoury. Yes, exactly.
Well, some headlines of the current Daihatsu range in Japan is that they make something called the Myra Tokot, which is just is because the Myra is sort of the Charade, I guess.
The Myra was the tiny little thing.
Well, there's a Myra, which looks quite modern and sort of slightly wedgy, but then the Tokot is very much sort of retro, flat bonnet.
Tokot.
Yeah, it's odd. They also make something called a Cast and something called a Taft, which is like a sort of crossovery thing that actually looks quite cool. But it's got
Taft,
a kind of
TAFT.
Very strange names. The Taft has a sort of Jeep Renegade vibe going on, but cooler. They still make the Move, and there's the Move
I love the
Custom.
Move.
I can't figure out. It's got a different front end on it. And then this is right up your street, the Move Canvas, which they've clearly got some kind of shooting for a sort of VW Bully sort of look, because it's two-tone, lower pastel over white, under white top, and a sort of smiley-ish face, and in comically small wheels, and a sliding back door.
Oh, I'm in.
So up your street.
I love a bit of strange K-box.
And it's
They're
a
just K-car, brilliant.
Yeah. There's also a... they make a model called the Boon, which I presume is some tribute.
B-O-O-N.
It's like a tribute to Michael Elphick, I hope. The upholstery has images of Neil Morrissey on it, but the Boon is
man riding a shit Norton motorbike around gloomy England. Did he ride a Commando or something?
Did he not have a BSA? I can't remember. Did Neil Morrissey have a BSA?
I never watched Boon.
You
I
didn't?
Saw the adverts. No.
Oh my God, I loved Boon because...
Wasn't it crap, though?
No. Well, I mean, I haven't watched it for years. I bet it's still on UK Gold, isn't it? But no, because my dad used to love it because it had old motorbikes in it, and he's a big old motorbike fan. And we used to watch Boon when it was on, and I always thought it was quite good.
Boon. I've just Googled what did Boon ride, and sure enough, you were right. It was a BSA Lightning. Yeah, there we go.
I'm looking at this.
I'm pretty sure it was, unless I've
this
got
Materia
that wrong.
Advert that you've sent me.
Yeah,
and is it not? It's actually a rather sort of good brown colour. This one, isn't it? It's not black. If you look, is it? I think it's like a sort of cherry browny sort of colour. I see there is a fucking Le Creuset lid on the back seat.
There is, isn't there? But, I mean, I don't understand.
You know how car magazines traditionally, when they're doing the shots of the boot of a car, they put an umbrella or something in it to give you a sense of scale. It looks like a shit version of that. They've gone, oh, people won't know how big the back seat is. I tell you what, chuck a Le Creuset with two adjustable spanners in. Everyone knows how big they are. It's weird.
It is an odd. I don't know how I
stumbled. 2 seconds just to move them and put them outside of the car.
But also, you know what? If you were going to do car buying detective work, you'd look at that and go, hang on, does this mean the owner of the car has Le Creusot pans? Which means they don't skimp on housewares, homewares, which means there is a chance that they look after their car because they like quality goods. Maybe. Or it's the other way around. They spend loads of money on household objects. They just buy a Daihatsu every 5 years and just trash it. I don't know.
It's
it looks in great
14
condition.
Years old. But it's a dealer. It's
a dealer who can't be, and it's a grand, Rich.
But there's
it's
some,
a grand.
What's in the? There's a lot of forensics to go through here on the pictures because it looks like some gum in the cup holder, but weird gum. And then the radio is tuned to Kiss.
That's the Valeters. That's valeting radio.
Are they valeting the car with the Creuset pan and some adjustables?
I don't know. The Le Creuset was found under a seat, and the person who took the car, they took the car in as a trade-in, probably went,
yeah,
oh, I've got to give that pan back to the lady because she probably... It's probably Mary Berry. What are we talking about? Mary Berry probably had a Daihatsu Materia.
I don't trust this dealer.
Don't you?
I don't trust
their
competence.
Because they're not removing...
I'm not going to
say the objects before.
Well,
the
not removing the objects is immediately a bit. But no, it's the fact that when you scroll down to their opening hours, they list themselves as being open from 1 a.m. to 11 p.m. every day. There's a lack of attention to detail there. Or the Kiss is a clue. They're mad ravers and they're just of all hours.
I want the dealer to contact us, and we won't badmouth them if they give me the car for £200. And then we'll good-mouth them, which is the opposite to bad-mouth, I presume,
yeah,
but nobody ever says
it. No one ever says it, but they should. Good-mouthing.
So. Yeah, Rich was out the other day. He was good-mouthing my YouTube channel. What an absolute hero.
I bumped into an old colleague of yours the other day. He was really good-mouthing you.
Yeah, good-mouth. Actually,
good
it sounds mouth. A little bit sexual, doesn't it?
Good-mouth. Good. See, again, now I've got a competence question. I'm looking at this dealer's other cars and...
What have you found?
2015 Vauxhall Corsa van, the picture's upside down.
Oh no!
All the pictures are upside down. Oh my god, get your act together. Actually, there's a picture of the instruments, and because they're upside down, they look rather racy because it looks like they run anti-clockwise. But no, sort your shit out, unnamed car dealer.
Going back, because I love this and I do want to buy it, but going back to Daihatsu, I was at the Tokyo Motor Show when they, and I was stood right at the front of the Daihatsu stand. This was, when was this? Probably 3 or 4 years ago now. Daihatsu had pulled out of the UK by this point, and I didn't realise that as I was looking at a Daihatsu van of some sort, I think it was a Move, or, you know, like a little people carrier, at the point where suddenly the live stage show started, but I didn't know there was going to be one. I just happened to be on the stand admiring a bit of K narrowness. And it turned into a full West End musical involving all of the Daihatsu vehicles, with a guy and his girlfriend following them through their life. Yeah. There was loads of really... I think I took some video of it. I had a phone, I'm pretty, because I was so shocked at what I was witnessing. It was amazing. Everything from like running away together, buying them flowers. There was some jumping through double sliding doors, K vehicles with some... choreographed dance moves, a bit of a Mardi Gras... And of course, Daihatsu don't make loads of models, but this went on. I swear this went on for 20 minutes, which in car show terms, is a long time.
Yeah.
That's like it's a car TV shuffling. Advert that goes on for 2 minutes. It's a long time.
Yeah.
I felt awkward because I was right at the front and some of the actors kept making eye contact with me. I couldn't leave. I was too tall to leave.
There's only two materials on Auto Trader. One of them is £1,495. It's not as nice a colour, but I don't know whether this was factory or they've just put a different tailgate on. It's got a black tailgate, but the rest of the car is kind of bluey grey. But it actually looks quite good. It looks like some of those, if anyone knows those late old shape Defenders, they did the Adventure Edition, which you could have in bright orange, but it always had a black tailgate. It looked really cool. It's like that. But anyway, £1,495, and it's got... all you'd need, really.
Can Materia's someone who listens to this podcast buy a Materia just to put me out of my misery? And actually, while I was admiring the sort of the K narrowness of the boxy cars, that we do both appreciate the Japanese K style, there is a company who are German, but the vehicle it's brand new, and I don't think it's come out yet, but they've shown lots of renders, called the X Bus. Just XBUS, and it's a modular little light vehicle that can either be a bus, tipper truck, box van, pickup, station wagon type thing. And it's electric, and it looks incredible. I really, really like it, but I don't know if it really exists yet. It's one of those. But they've got a registered UK office, and I'm going to... Yep. I feel like I'm going to drive one soon. I really want to drive one. Have a look. TridentXBus.co.uk. Or just type in XBus into Google, all good purveyors of internet, and it'll probably send you there, won't it?
Right, well, we've covered a lot of topics today and tried to extort a Daihatsu Materia out of a Norfolk-based car dealer for £200. So it's been a pretty fruitful hour or so.
Would you say I'll buy it for the asking price, but I want the Le Creuset and I want the ratchet spanners because they're probably worth a few quid?
Yeah, it could be a good deal breaker, actually.
That would be the way you'd haggle. Mm. I want the pan lid.
Pan lid? Is this a euphemism? No. Okay, anyway, three things to tell you before we leave. One of them is Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show, and there is also The Late Break Show Live, which is happening this Saturday, the 7th of August.
Bums, yes.
In Kent. So if you want to come along, go to the Late Break Show website, latebreakshow.com, and buy a ticket.
Yeah, we have to. You have to buy a ticket in order to go. It's a pre-sale thing. You can't just turn up on the gate. And I know that most men are disorganised, and a lot of men might listen to this podcast. But yeah, it'd be great. It's first ever event, one day, 12 midday till 8 p.m. But we've got Rich coming.
I'm coming.
It could be fun. It could be terrible, but hopefully not. And there'll be a selection of machinery. It's not going to be a huge show for our first one. We're sticking our toe in the water to see how it works. But it'd be lovely for you guys to come and support it.
Mm. So, hopefully, yeah. See you on Saturday.
Yeah, on that side of things.
Two, I've got various books out. You probably know what they are by now, but if you could buy one of them, that'd be tremendous. And
can you make up a name of one of your books?
Walking Backwards to Ipswich.
That's an Ed Sheeran song, if ever. one, yeah.
What's the third thing I've got to say? Oh, Hanging on the Telephone by Blondie is actually a cover version. It's originally performed by The Nerves.
Oh, I didn't know that. You're good.
Anyway, there we go. Well, that's that for this. We will see you for another podcast same time next week. Hopefully, we'll see some listeners on Saturday for the Late Break Show live. And in the meantime, if you want to drop us a line, hello@smithandsniff.com. And thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and thank you.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars. And this week, whatever happened to do... Blah, fucking bollocks.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus... Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.